And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is yet another round of Trending Mobile Technology right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is episode 75. Three quarters, bud. Yes, we are on our way, marching and moving. It's a long way to the top, and hey, I am going one step at a time. We got lots of stuff coming in, but first, make sure you're checking me out on Google Plus, Pipe with a DJ. That's my handle. Find me on Twitter, Pipe with a DJ again, and Pipe with a DJ at gmail.com. We got lots of new stuff going on, not only within the podcasting realm, but just all over the place. And unfortunately, I don't like post to social media as much as possible, but you know, I do what I can with what I have and pray that it's good enough. Joining me in the studios for the first time this year, I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this because I haven't spoken to this individual for a very long time. Coming back to the studios, my neighbor to the north, the defender of Microsoft, the advocate for all things corporate, and host of Sister Show here on the Trending Topics Network. Welcome back, Mr. Old School. How be you, sir?
What's app, Piper?
What's app? You should be asking Facebook, what's app?
$16 billion for a messaging platform. It's a ballsy move, but I think it's a smart one.
There's a lot of people that are comparing the purchase of WhatsApp to Instagram. And, you know, and then if you look back, and we're just going to tangent right here off the bat. If you look at the recent acquisitions, okay, Google just bought Nest. They bought the other digital company, the robotics company. They sold Microsoft, things like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, Facebook buys WhatsApp for $16 billion when all these other companies that I believe are more established and they have more potential are selling for $2, $3, $5, and $10 billion. You know, so what's the difference, you know, and then you got to think about the other side of it. Are these guys kicking themselves for the, you know, about, you know, well, maybe we should have waited. Maybe we're being too eager to sell, or maybe we did this or that or what have you. You know, so yes, Zuckerberg and his quote unquote band of individuals purchased WhatsApp. It's a messaging platform. Much similar to BlackBerry. They're actually, I believe, in the official press release, at least, Zuckerberg and company went on the books citing that WhatsApp was still going to remain its individual entity, and it wasn't going to be, like, sucked up into a, what's it called? Like a universal texting app, much like you have with Google Hangouts, or, you know, and you were still going to have Facebook Messenger, and WhatsApp was going to be its own little thing. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week with Crackberry Kevin, who is in the mobile world. He knows all things BlackBerry. He runs crackberry.com, various things like that, and he's excited to see what they're going to do with this. So since you actually kind of started this one, Mr. Old School, what's app for you, sir?
You know what? I think it's a great acquisition. Facebook with Instagram wasn't great in that space either, and it, you know, they spent significantly less than, you know, $16 billion for it. But they're also leaving it independent, which I think is smart. In terms of the price, I understand it looks like a lot, but you have to consider also that Google wanted to purchase it as well previously. And actually, Google wanted to make, from what I understood, Google wanted to make a deal with WhatsApp to just pay them to let them know if somebody else wanted to buy them.
Yes.
So Google said, we'll give you money, but, you know, but if somebody wants to acquire you, let us know. And WhatsApp said, no thanks. You know, so it's, I think there was a lot of players looking at it. I mean, in the terms of US, it doesn't have a lot of coverage, but in Asia, India, it's huge, absolutely huge.
It's and, definitely big overseas for the simple fact that, that a lot of the, it's an international thing.
Yeah.
Because it's universal, much, much similar to BlackBerry Messenger. I believe that if BlackBerry Messenger would have hit the market sooner, it would be a viable contender with WhatsApp, as a standalone, in my opinion. You know, so it is one of those things that does go across the board. It is internet-based. It's, I'm sorry, data-based. Yeah, cross-platform.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's, I would be interested to see what's going to happen. But see, the flip side to this, and I'm not going to put my Google hat on for this because I can understand where a lot of people are coming from here, and a lot of people know I do advocate toward Google. And
really?
Yeah, just slightly. But what do you think about some of the rumors that are floating around, Mr. Old School, that maybe WhatsApp looked at Google and blew them off for the simple fact there's a philosophy floating around as of late that Google might be getting too big?
To be honest, I think if Google threw out the money, you know, when somebody's saying, we'll give you $20 billion, do you think you're going to say, well, you know what, the right thing maybe is not to go with you because you're getting too big. No, you're going to take the money.
Well, yeah, I mean, considering that's they took 16 from Facebook, right?
That's it. I think Google just didn't offer them the money at the time, or they were maybe kind of playing wait and see. And, you know, Facebook came in with the right amount, and they said, okay, well, let's go with you.
You know, the flip side to this, and I don't know all the – I don't claim to be the man with the knowledge of what happened behind the closed doors and everything. But perhaps with the recent acquisitions that they've made and the selling of Motorola and things like that, perhaps Google was thinking that this was going to be a lowball dollar, and going off what you said, maybe the money wasn't there. So, you know, all this and boom, 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 and WhatsApp just said, hey, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're also getting $3 billion for the employees' invested stock that'll vest over the 4 years. So you've got that motivation for the employees to stay on, to work hard, and to get WhatsApp even in more market space. You know, Facebook wasn't that big internationally, and overnight, now they are. So with this acquisition, so I think it's an absolutely great move for them. You know, it is an expensive price point thing, considering that, you know, their revenues were only about $7 billion. You know, so they're gambling a lot on this, but I think it's a good move right now because Facebook is perceived by the young crowd as kind of not cool anymore.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard this, but, you know, people are going more towards like Instagram and Vine and stuff like that. And Facebook is seen still more as, utility. You know, you got the older people on it now, and they're usually, though, they won't tend to move as much. They're, you know, they're the demographic that works, they'll stick with it. So, and then, the younger people are kind of on there because everybody else is on there. So that trend could go very quickly downwards. We've seen that with MySpace. So I think it's very smart while they're big and Facebook's got a lot of money to spend it on stuff that they can increase their network, their market share, their network share, with stuff like WhatsApp, Instagram, some of the newer services. Just kind of scoop them up while they're still affordable.
You know, I read a figure, I believe I read it in the Wall Street Journal, where WhatsApp sold for a little over $35 per user. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there is 1.4 million. Let me look and see what.
There's got to be more than that. I mean, if you got Asia and India, yeah, there's no way it's that low.
Facebook, $19 billion, 450 million monthly active.
Yeah, that
active.
Seems about right, yeah.
Okay, so, and that one coming off the AC. So, I mean, you know, this is definitely, for whatever direction and for whatever reason, the folks at Facebook wanted to buy this. You know, they said they're going to keep it independent. They're not going to incorporate it into Facebook Messenger at this time. And that was the first thought that came to my mind when I heard about this acquisition, was Facebook was going to improve Facebook Messenger. Now, if we pump the brakes on this a minute, we realize Facebook already has a built-in messaging client. It also, in the Android, the iOS, the Windows, and the BlackBerry space, Facebook also has its own standalone messaging client. Okay, I've got Facebook Messenger installed on my device, but I don't have the Facebook app. Why? Because I don't need the Facebook app. I do more messaging with people through the Facebook Messenger versus anything else. Well, just for that reason. And so I was thinking that this was going to be incorporated to perhaps improve or something of that nature, but then they said it was going to continue to stand alone. They were going to continue to utilize the engineers and the fundamentals that WhatsApp has already established and keep it its own little entity. So, you know, this has got my curiosity piqued. I am not a WhatsApp user. I've recommended it to quite a few people, you know, who do international stuff. I mean, I don't deal with that many people internationally, but when I do, I have Google Hangouts that works for me. I have Skype that works for me. I have email that works really good for me, and one argument that Renee Ritchie brought up from the AC is, well, you know, we've got to go into email and compose and do this and do that, and then I'm just like, you know, I don't have a problem doing that. You know, now granted, these guys, Crackberry Kevin, Renee Ritchie, Phil Nickinson, all these guys are diehard mobile users, and they are on the go all the time. That is their job, okay? These are guys that they're running around. They've got an iOS device on one hip. They've got an Android device on another. They've got a Windows device on another hip. Different things like that. They're telling you what's on with these different devices. And so, therefore, they're in a position to, you know, need to shave off a few seconds here, shave off a few seconds there. I think I'm busy. My life compared to these guys would probably be pretty tame. You know, so I think that I'll agree with you on this one, old school. WhatsApp acquisition is good for Facebook. Keeping it by itself, though, it's got my interest piqued just for the simple fact that I don't think it's going to stay on its own for that long.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right on that. But I think they said that they wouldn't integrate anything right away because they didn't want to scare off the user base.
Right, right.
And eventually, I do see the play where they would integrate and call it Facebook Messenger. It just makes sense, you know. To they've got the platform. It's not widely adopted, so it's smart that they're going after this already established user base. But if, you know, if you could just change a name on it, integrate it, you've instantly got 500 million international users to your platform. I think that's really good for Facebook.
Right, right. Yeah, and so with that in mind, how does this go against BlackBerry Messenger? I mean, you're a longtime BlackBerry advocate. You just recently upgraded your device, and we'll get to that here in a few minutes. But BlackBerry Messenger for Android, this coming off of Android Geeks, citing that BlackBerry Messenger for Android 2.0 is broken the top 50 most popular apps among users. So how does this acquisition, Facebook, of WhatsApp, how does that go against BlackBerry Messenger?
I think BlackBerry was unfortunately too late to the game when they made it an open standard to be available on, you know, Android and iOS, because WhatsApp, I think, was created because of the lack of BBM being available on other platforms. And, you know, WhatsApp just works on everything, mm-hmm. which what BlackBerry should have done three years ago. But unfortunately, they're late to the game. I think it's good that they're finally doing it, and I think it will create a larger popularity. But WhatsApp already has that established demographic, and it works well. So I don't see people jumping to BBM for any particular reason, other than maybe they know somebody who has a phone and they want to get in contact with them because they already have BBM and stuff like that. So unfortunately, you know, I am a big fan of BlackBerry, although I have switched recently, but I think they're just a little too late to the game. And at the end of it, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
You know, something else that I find curious about this is WhatsApp was designed to be international. WhatsApp was designed to give that security. It was designed to give that end-to-end encryption. It was designed to give that privacy, designed to work toward the, it was just supposed to help with the privacy issues, okay, no matter where you're at in the world. BlackBerry Messenger, obviously it's got the BlackBerry infrastructure, so BlackBerry has privacy built into it. It has that security built into it. Is there, I'm going to go way out on a limb here on this one, but is there a way that BlackBerry could pull a Trump card of some sort to say, hey, this is what WhatsApp has, but look at what we can do with BlackBerry Messenger on its own? I'm thinking here. Just, you know, you said, yeah, BlackBerry Messenger was too late to the game. I can get that. I can understand they should have released BlackBerry Messenger 5 years ago when there was a demand for it, before, yeah, BlackBerry started having its fall from grace. But, you know, what could BlackBerry do, you know, and they just recently broke top 50, which is good.
Yeah.
So what can they do to get that to break maybe top 10, like, quick?
That's tough. I mean, I've been a longtime user of BBM for several years. This is before they opened up to different devices. I had a lot of friends on BlackBerry, so we had a lot of coworkers as well. So I'm very familiar with it. I don't see anything that can make them stand out, unfortunately, unless they develop, you know, some new kind of technology. But, I mean, you can do voice and stuff like that with it, but I can't see anything that they could do that WhatsApp couldn't do, you know, very quickly. You know, if BBM came up with some crazy thing, WhatsApp could very easily copy it. So I can't. I wish I could think of something, but maybe it just, I'm not seeing it, but I can't see them doing anything that would stand out in a messaging app that would make everybody want to switch.
Right, right. Now, I've never been a BBM user. I've been a BlackBerry user, but never BBM, just for the simple fact that it hasn't been necessary in my life. With the current genre or lifestyle that I'm in, I don't know anybody that has a BlackBerry anymore. And we'll get more into that as we continue on. But, you know, I will agree, I don't know what BlackBerry could do to make themselves more appealing. I'm kind of concerned for BlackBerry at this point, because BBM was their ace in the hole. And when they released it, when they came out with it, when they moved with it, when they started pushing it, you know, with all the other crap that they had going against them, they still came out and they pushed, and they did pretty well with it. It's starting to, I don't know if this is like the upward swing of the pendulum for them. I know this is a real stretch on a metaphor, but I mean, they had their low time, then BlackBerry Messenger came out, now they're starting to swing up a little bit. So when it reaches its crest and it starts to go back the other way, does that mean it's going to fall out again? Is it going to improve again or whatever? I'm going to have to agree with you on this one and say I can't think of anything that they could present to be a viable competitor against WhatsApp, because, you know, from what I've read, from what I understand, WhatsApp does very good on its own.
At the same time, like, it was smart for them to make it cross-platform. I can't knock them for it. It was the right move to do. It's just, it was too little too late.
Right, right.
Just with a lot of stuff they did, with revamping the phone, and they tried to make a new OS and all this, you know, it was great. It was a great concept, but it just didn't sell with consumers.
It's a problem. Yeah, I can definitely understand that. Well, it's that time. We've touched on it a couple different times already. And as a matter of fact, you tweeted out to me not too long ago, a little over a month ago,
yes,
that you put your money where your mouth is. Your BlackBerry Bold 9900 went to the great big circuit board in the sky, and you have upgraded to a Nokia Lumia 620.
Yes.
Now, when you first told me that, me being the spec freak that I am, sorry, but it just, it runs in my blood, I immediately pulled up the specs and I looked at them and my eyebrows kind of went up a little bit. For those playing the home game, we'll just go ahead and run this down. The Lumia 620 does run Windows 8. Now, is that an 8.1 or an 8.2, or is it still 8.0?
That's an excellent question, and while you talk, I will look into that right now.
Okay, all right, perfectly fine. It is compatible on all 2G and 3G networks. It does have GPRS, Edge, HSPA, but not HSPA Plus or WiMAX or LTE 4G compatibility. It does have Wi-Fi, but not hotspotting or Wi-Fi Direct. Obviously, you can do text messaging, email, and all that other kind of good stuff. There's no HDMI port, but it does charge via USB.
Yeah, micro USB. Yeah.
Micro USB. But there's no MHL capability on that. That was something that really surprised me when I looked at this. We're going to keep on going. It's got Bluetooth 3. Current technology is Bluetooth 4. It does have NFC, doesn't have IR, so you can't use it as a super remote control. It's got a screaming camera for its size. 5 megapixel autofocus, yep. 4x zoom with a 2.4 f-stop 28 millimeter. And that is, if you're dealing with something small, a lot of people, this was something big in the late 90s, early aughts, if I'm not mistaken, where people with jewelry, they would take pictures of serial numbers and stuff like that so they could identify it for insurance purposes and stuff like that. So, you know, this is something that's good, you know, the 4X digital zoom, the 2.4 f-stop, etc. Doesn't come with image stabilization, which kind of confuses me because if you're using a digital zoom like that, you'd want to be able to hold that image still. And if you got the shakes like I do, just presents its own little problem. It's got an LED flash, 720p resolution with a VGA display of 640 by 480. The display size is 3.8 inches. It does have a touch screen. It does have 16 million colors. And it is a PPI of 246. Now, for the nitty-gritty, we've got a 1 gigahertz dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon S4. 512 megs of RAM, 8 gigs internal with a 64 gig expansion for SD. It supports all the traditional music formats, does not support micro simming or dual simming, 1300 mAh battery, suggested standby time is 330 hours, actual talk time is 846 minutes, doesn't support any voice commands, but it does support Internet Explorer 10 for the mobile device. Mr. Old School, first off, are we running Windows 8 or is that 8.1?
Yeah, we're running Windows 8.
Windows 8, okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing that catches my attention on this is obviously the battery. I am running a Galaxy Note 2. It has a 3100 mAh battery. I'm getting
You're also running a portable NORAD station.
Yeah,
so.
Portable NORAD teleconferencing with this, that, and everything else. So I'm curious as to, because I took you up on your challenge, and I'll get to that here in a minute.
Sure.
But how does the footprint of Windows 8 compare? How long does that battery last for you in your average day?
Well, I can tell you, I had it off the charger at 7 this morning, at 7 Eastern, so that'd be 6 your time.
Right.
It's now currently 1:30 your time,
uh-huh.
And my battery's at 42%.
And has it been on the charger at all today?
No.
Okay.
So again, you know, I'm not launching missiles or whatever. I mean, you know, I do check my email frequently, a lot of text messaging, and I do make the odd phone call, you know, from my cell phone.
Right.
But I'm not a heavy user by any means, and I'm not watching movies or anything like that. But for my normal day to day stuff, it definitely lasts the day, and I'll say it's always at around 40 or 50%. So for my needs, and you know, you ask frequently, what do you want your device to do? What I want my device to do, I'm going to make phone calls, check my email, text messaging, Twitter, Facebook, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I do have some mobile office stuff, and we'll probably talk about OneDrive after. Works really well. And I have, you know, some basic apps. I got my YouTube, my Netflix that I don't use too often, my banking apps and stuff like that. But it's mostly used as a communication device, text, email, and phone, and it works great.
How's that 1 gig dual core CPU working with the 512 RAM? Is it pretty lean? Is it keeping up? Are you finding lag problems, etc.?
I've not seen any lag. I think the OS is extremely snappy, very quick. I love the live tiles. You know, I scroll up and down, very smooth. There's no, you know, zero freezing. Actually, there was some freezing at the beginning, but it was because my SD card, my expansion card, was defective. So a quick tip for everybody, you know, you can do this with technology for anything, computers, for phones. If you have something that's weird that's happening, either your phone or computer's freezing or crashing or what have you, the best rule of thumb, and you probably agree with me on this, is what did you last do? Mm-hmm. Did you put in hardware? Did you install something? And that's usually the culprit. So I thought back to myself, what did I last do? Yeah, I put an SD expansion card in there, and I just took that out, and it worked fine. So, but now in terms of snappiness, programs open great, installs quick. I see absolutely zero lag for my needs anyways. Right. It works very well.
Now, a lot of people say that the biggest thing that they hold against Microsoft in the mobile space is app support. A couple weeks ago, Microsoft came out, plenty of people crapping in their cornflakes over the simple fact that Microsoft is, quote, seriously considering, unquote, incorporating Android APK support to their store. Have they done that yet? No, it's still one of those things that they're talking about, etc. So with app support in mind, you know, you mentioned Netflix, you mentioned YouTube, etc. What apps have you gotten off the Microsoft store that you found work in replacement or coordination or just in your daily life that help you make it through the day with your mobile device? Yep. We're talking about app support. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I can tell you from my needs anyways, one big change I did was I went 100% into the Microsoft space for the Office, the calendar, and OneDrive, formerly known as SkyDrive, to store all my photos, my documents. When I take a photo, it automatically uploads to SkyDrive. When I'm on Wi-Fi, that gives me 7 gig of free storage. They have some offers now where if you recommend people and stuff, you can get more storage. Or you can pay for 100 gig for $50 a year, which is very reasonable. I do all my show notes for my podcast on OneDrive with Office Live or Office 365, whatever it is. That works really well. What else? I mean, I don't use that much. I have Vine. I have my banking applications, Google Maps. I have an app for Sochi 2014 for the CBC here, which is our local television station, so I can stream all my stuff with that. I also use an open source media server called Plex, which I stream stuff off my PC to either my phone or my tablet. That works as well. And I have all my emails connected to it. So my POP3 emails, my work emails using ActiveSync, that works great. So, I mean, I understand. I'm probably going to be the average user. I don't have a billion apps on here. I'm not using, you know, putting presentations, using it as a PC and stuff. I really use it for just more of a phone, but I do have some other basic stuff that I do. But in terms of app availability for what I needed, it was all there. I'd never had an app on my tablet that I couldn't find on my phone that I needed or that I wanted to use. I'm sure, you know, and people have said there's a bunch of apps missing, but for my needs, I couldn't find anything that I could find on the Windows Store or equivalent.
But you were able to look, I mean, for what you wanted, for what you needed, you were able to utilize the Windows market to download your apps. And that's excellent. I mean, that's great to know. I in preparation for today, I pulled a story off the Gotta Be Mobile website. This one cited 14 February, quote, Android tablet versus Windows 8.1 tablet and what to buy. And what the writers pretty much did is they took Android tablets and put them against the Windows 8 mobile tablets.
The RT?
No, the full Windows 8.
Okay, like the Pro.
Yes, the Pros.
Okay.
And they based it on user experience and overall software and apps and various things like that. And they closed it out in conclusion in a very, very unique way. And I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you, and I want to get your thoughts on it. In the conclusion, citing, quote, users who do stay with Windows will likely be government employees, medical professionals, or financial workers who require added security and specialized apps. Creative artists and those who edit professional quality videos will likely want to stay outside the Windows space, but even consumers who dabble in Photoshop may find a suitable photo editing app in the Android and in a consumer-grade video edit that is much faster and easier to utilize. So it really boils down to your workflow, unquote. I was having a discussion last week with one of my instructors, Mr. Old School, and I'm noticing in the university space, many business majors are carrying Windows devices. Some of them are carrying Windows 8 cell phones. Majority of them are carrying Windows tablets. So, you know, and that's, they're being instructed in order to be successful in what they do with where they're going. They need to be in the Microsoft space. So with this in mind, you know, plus this comparison between the Android and the Microsoft space in the tablets, you know, you've also given a very good review on the Windows 8 mobile, despite everything that I've said about it, my own personal opinion. Once again, just remember, just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean it's necessarily right.
Yeah.
You know, so with that in mind, is Microsoft, you know, and then the changing of the CEO and all the other transitions that Microsoft is going through right now, with all this going on, is this Microsoft's trump card? Business. I mean, they've got the infrastructure. We all know that. They've got the long history of dealing with businesses and corporations. There was a long time where Microsoft and BlackBerry were at odds, but then BlackBerry had their fall from grace, which we're all familiar with. You know, so with this in mind, is Microsoft trying to push back in to the space and say, hey, no matter what you might say, think, or feel, we're the big boys here. We're putting on our big boy pants. We're hiking them up. We're getting ready to jump into the shit ankle deep. We don't care. We're here to stay. We're going to fight. And if you don't like it, there's the door.
In terms of the corporate space, I don't think Microsoft was ever out of it. They've always been in it. They just didn't have a tablet specifically for it, but it was laptops that were their kind of main portable device. And we've seen the success of the iPad and the Android tablets. And so Microsoft responded with fantastic, very expensive, but fantastic Surface Pro device, which a lot of people in my company use as their main machine. Especially with the new docks now, you can dock two different screens with it, so it can be used in the desktop space. It's fantastic for traveling. It's a very small, compact device. So you can install it on a domain, which is very key for business companies, professionals, and you can just run any software that you can run on a desktop computer on that device. So that's the main difference between that and an Android tablet. Where an Android tablet would be more for that consumer space, that, you know, you're going to be watching video, listening to music, browsing the web, but, you know, you can't run specific corporate applications, which you can on the Surface Pro. So Microsoft, in my opinion, has never left the space to begin with. They've got that new element of the tablet in there. And Android, in terms of corporate space, I just can't see them breaking in unless they can have desktop applications that are compatible with the device. And I don't see that happening. So I can't see these two markets merging at all.
And I will agree with that. The other downside that I'll give to Google concerning this is they can't lock down their operating system the way Microsoft can. Okay? And, yeah. And you know, I at one point in time, you and I squared off concerning that situation. But, I mean, if you think about it, in corporate space, security is everything. Privacy is everything. I mean, you know, you're talking doctors, bankers, things of that nature. Well, guess what? It might, in the end, it might all be ones and zeros, but it's still important. It still needs to be kept secure. It still needs to be private. Yep. It still needs to be maintained, you know, added security, specialized apps to keep it locked down. You know, and I can, I understand that now a little bit better than I did before. And I just, I think that Microsoft has its place. Okay, and I took you up on your challenge. I wasn't able to actually take it out of the store and put it on my hip, but I actually went out and I got my hands on a Windows 8 device.
Okay.
And it was actually an interesting experience for the simple fact that down, and I don't know what the Microsoft stores are like, okay? We don't have any Microsoft stores around here. I got a Best Buy.
Right.
We got a couple other electronic stores that specialize in cell phones. And I went to one of them, and the agent actually looked at me, and I said, I need some information on your Microsoft Windows 8 devices, Windows 8 phones.
Yeah.
And I had myself looking, you know, like I was a little bit in the know, and you know, I wasn't trying to play stump the technician like I usually do. But I went and I was talking to him, and he's like, well, our Microsoft Windows specialist is on break right now. I said, what?
He's on the back doing a number two.
I said, he's on break. I'm like, what, you don't know anything? Well, I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can wait till he gets back. Do you have some literature on it? No. I was like, okay.
I mean, keep in mind, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but Best Buy, you know, they don't run on commission.
Right.
So, you know, they're low wage employees that they're just pencil pushers, and you right. got one guy who's been trained on it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can't really base that first impression. You know, it's not Microsoft's fault.
No. And I'm not. And I wasn't going to. After that one, I was just like, you know, I was like, it's okay. So I went home. I kind of spiffed myself up a little bit to, you know, play the part of the knowledgeable technician.
Yeah.
And I went to a different store, and I walked in, and I said, okay, I've got a situation. I need you to help me out here. And he's like, what's that? I said, I have a small business that deals in finance, and I need cell phones that will provide security as well as network ability within this small business. I have a Windows server that I'm running for mail and push applications, et cetera. I mean, I really teched it out to this guy.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, you've already said a couple different things. He's like, I really need to suggest this Windows Mobile 8 phone. I was like, okay, let's talk about it. And we went over, we talked, and he's showing me some of the features. And this is the same guy that I talked to when I walked in the door. So he had all this, you know, he'd been trained in this. And he was talking to me, and he's like, you've got the tiles, and I didn't realize that you can customize those tiles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can shape and resize them to your heart's content.
Yeah.
And really lay them out the way that, you know, on the page that you want to. And, you know, I've got, my phone tiles, the big tile, and then, you know, like, I know it seems like simplistic if you're hearing me say this, but just the interface is just very, it's nice. You can really make it look the way you want to and size and reshape and move the tiles over a lot more than, say, the Android or the iPhone splash screens, in my opinion.
Well, and as Android continues to evolve, the customization with the, well, we call them widgets, changes. But see, the thing that, and this is where one of my biases was really wreaking havoc with me, for the simple fact that the only interaction that I've had in the Windows Mobile 8, or Windows 8, was a laptop.
Yeah.
Okay, where everything was touch, you're touching the screen, you gotta do this, it's very, very different from the mobile space. And you turned me on to that, and we had a great discussion about this last time I had you on, and a lot of it really made my eyebrows go up. But after actually sitting down and messing around with this device for a little bit, I looked at it, and I was like, that's not what I was initially introduced to with Windows 8. And here's the funny thing. The individual that I was talking to, he kind of echoed what you said. He's like, if you've had experience with Windows 8 in a desktop or laptop device, he said, you need to forget what you've been working with on that, because this is not that.
Yeah.
He said, this is different from that. He's like, and in my opinion, this is better than that. And then he transitioned over a little bit and was talking to me a little bit about tablets and mobile desktoping and various things like that. And it was, I mean, overall, I believe that some of my past biases with Microsoft are legitimate. However, with Windows 8 Mobile being on the forefront of what it is, the moving forward, in the mobile space, I believe it still has its place. Knowing that our future businessmen and women, of whether it be America, whether it be North America, whether it be global or whatever, they're still being trained in the mobile space with Microsoft. They're still being educated with these tools. Microsoft is still in the forefront when it comes to security and privacy. They still have their place. They're still being a dominant force. They're still a major player, despite the fact the fiasco of Vista, despite the fact of Windows Mobile 7 and 6 and 6.1 and 6.5 and the various other things that went wrong in the Ballmer era. Okay.
I mean, you can also call Windows 8 on the desktop a fiasco as well.
Yeah, I will. I will say that. And I was under the impression that Windows 8, whether it be in the mobile space, whether it be in the tablet space, whether it be in the desktop space, it was all the exact same cookie cutter thing all the way down the board. And it isn't.
No, because that's what threw me off. Yeah, it's designed for a tablet or a phone experience.
Yeah.
And they took that same experience and put it on the desktop and completely ruined it, which is the problem. They should have had two different interfaces.
Yeah,
and that's why they're rushing the crap out of Windows 9. And it won't get here fast enough for them, let me tell you.
So with Windows 9, is that going to bring out Mobile 9, or do you think Windows 9 is just going to be its own little deal for the desktop?
That's a good question. I think it will bring out Mobile 9, because that's what they've been doing the last two iterations. So it would make sense that they would do it, although they don't need to. But I think they would do it just to perhaps spark sales. But in terms of operability, I think Windows 8 on the phone space is actually very good. But yeah, I think they're going to come out with both. Just because, you know, when you hear the new number, you think fresh, different, and new. Even though they might not even change much on the back end, it might entice people to maybe buy the phone or look at it.
I don't know. I would like to see Mobile 8 continue to move forward in the steps that it's going. And I really hope, I mean, and I say this with all the respect I can for the industry, that they don't break their momentum by introducing a new operating system that's different from what they've got right now.
Yeah, I mean, their trend is upward, slowly but surely. You know, they're not taking a huge amount of market share because of those long-term contracts, like I mentioned, like I was on last time. But if they can get deals with big corporations and give some kickbacks for those phones, like BlackBerry should as well, I think they have a chance because they have great integration with Exchange servers and – You can also have custom apps too, like in the App Store, you can have an app server. So if you have like those custom apps for your corporation specifically, that could be an interesting thing to do as well. And I'm not sure if that's possible on Android or iOS. I haven't heard of that. So a lot of possibilities and a lot of potential with this new platform.
Right. And I agree with that. I mean, the Windows 8 in the desktop space, I can't stand it. But
yeah, it's garbage.
8 in the mobile space and the tablet space, you know, knowing what I discovered a couple of weeks ago, that the businessmen and women are being trained and educated in the Microsoft space, my recent experience in the Windows 8 mobile on the phone, you know, that was a very pleasant experience. Is it enough to change me from where I'm at? No, but, you know, I have an ecosystem that works right now. If I get a wild hair up my butt someday, I probably might. Google might go bankrupt. Who knows?
Yeah, right? No.
but, you know, it's just plenty of things happening with Windows 8. You know, maybe Windows 9, Windows Mobile 9. They definitely need to change that desktop quick and in a hurry. I mean,
what they should have done, I can't believe they haven't done it, is when you start up, you first install it or you start it up, it'll say, okay, what do you have? Do you have a tablet? Do you have a desktop? Do you have a laptop? Right. And if you have a desktop or a laptop, you offer the old start menu. You get rid of the splash screen or you offer them the two. What do you want to start up, in traditional mode or the new splash screen mode? Uh-huh. And that would have alleviated so many issues. Just that would have made so many people happy, but they were headstrong. They're like, no, we're moving people over to the splash screen and blah, blah, and it's people crapped on it.
They forced it down everybody's throat. Yeah, there's people that I know, companies, matter of fact, and this is something that's going to be coming down here in the next few months when the XP licenses go away. You know, they're not upgrading because they didn't like Vista because it was shit. 7, well, you know, well, why don't we just wait until 8? Well, 8 comes out and it's nothing but shit. You know, so here they are, they're on XP, they're waiting for the next big thing. At this point, it's going to be 9. You know, you've got folks, companies, people, businesses, whatever you want to call them, that are waiting to upgrade, and they're not able to because, you know, there's something lacking. There's not something there yet. And it just, I think it's interesting to see, and I think it's fascinating, as a matter of fact, that Microsoft thinks that they could cram something down a user's throat. Okay.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that because Microsoft has always been the slow company that transformed because their user base is very set in their ways, uh-huh, and they're used to stuff working a certain way. So they really took a gamble with Windows 8 because a lot of the times they were very slow to change. If you remember, if you're a user of Office, uh-huh, between, you know, Office 98 and like 2003, just before 2007, that interface did not change one bit.
Yeah, and then they put the ribbon in and all that kind of stuff, and everybody was going crazy. And I looked at it because I had to, when they came out with the new Office, I had to take a class to, everybody had to take a class to learn how to use the new Office and things. I was like, can't we just shut it off?
And here's the issue with that, is their biggest criticism was that the interface never changes. It's nothing different. Why am I going to buy this new operating system? Nothing. It's the same thing. And that was the thing with XP. It was so good. Why am I going to mess with it? You know, Vista's a piece of crap, like you said. And people, you know, it's damned if they do, damned if they don't. But they went a little too hard. And they should have made the change, but still offered that backward compatibility, which they are used to doing. And I think they could have saved Windows 8 just by doing that, just offering a start menu.
I agree with that because, you know, the start menu or the orb or whatever you want to call it, the sphere or whatever, It's an integrated part of Microsoft Windows. It's not an integrated part in the mobile space, but it's an integrated part in Windows. And
yep.
It's the basis and the fundamental basis of everything that a lot of people want. And it just, man, I don't want to see the momentum they've built in the mobile space and the good things that people are starting to talk about with Windows Mobile 8. I don't want to see that smashed. You know, so I'm going to flip the other way on this, and I'm going to say send out Windows 9 for the desktop. Leave Windows 8 Mobile alone. You want to put out a point build to you know, maybe polish up a couple rough edges that you might see out there or something like that. Do that. But don't rush to put out Windows Mobile 9. And I think that losing Ballmer, I think that's going to work in their benefit, because Ballmer's big, his big push, his big desire, his hard-on was to get Microsoft in the mobile space. That was his hard-on. And now that he's not there driving that, and they got this new guy in there who's focusing on software, who's focusing on integration, I think he's going to I mean, he's a server builder, too. He's
Satya,
a server engineer.
Yeah. Satya's a cloud guy.
Yeah.
So.
He's big on cloud, but he's also big on server infrastructure.
Yeah.
So he's going to look at these, and he's, hopefully at least, he's going to look at it and say, okay, so when we were engineering for this, you know, backward building or whatever you want to call it, this is what was working and this is what wasn't, so let's try and keep the same mentality, you know, and keep going what's in one direction and everything like that. So, you know, I think that would be a good thing, and nix the desktop, give us Windows 9, listen to the people, do what, you know, integrate, incorporate, revert, whatever you want to call it, get back to a desktop. Don't make it a mobile desktop, because that's not what people want. When they sit down to a laptop, when they sit down to a tower, they want it to be a desktop experience. They don't want it to be their mobile phone. I mean, there's that definitive difference, and the further and further I get into mobile technology and the things that I do, I realize that, you know, my desktop is my desktop, my phone is my phone, my tablet is my tablet. All three are different. I don't want them to look the same. I do in some certain things, but they're supposed to be their own entity, not all the same. And I definitely don't want it rammed down my throat, right?
Absolutely. And no, and Satya is going to be good for the innovation, too. It's going to be a change of the guard. You know, they've had the same CEOs for 30 years there. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he comes up with. And I think the corporate culture at Microsoft's going to change a lot. And the products they're going to come out with will reflect that as well.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. And I've got one more story I want to get into here. This one coming off of Daily Finance, dated 16 February. Old school, I'm going to read you this headline, and I want you to tell me if it's fact or crap, okay?
Sure.
Microsoft Corporation could be about to kill the Surface tablet.
Yes, I'm sure that's very possible. And just for the viewers at home, the Surface tablet was previously known as the RT tablet. So that is the consumer-based version of Surface, of the actual physical hardware, which only allows users to install stuff from the Microsoft Store and not the full-fledged apps. So I could absolutely see this going away. It was an absolute abysmal failure. It did not do well on the consumer side, and just the limitations of it. Yes, it was cheaper, but when I buy a Windows tablet, I have the perception I can install everything. So when I don't have that happen, I'm extremely disappointed if I'm a consumer. So I agree, it should absolutely go away. I don't know. I think it's fact, and if it is, it's a very smart move.
Now you said a couple things, and perhaps I'm not understanding the full depth of this. Now, you mentioned Surface RT, and I understand that. And you gave the textbook, very good consumer textbook of what Surface RT is. Yep. Where did Surface Pro, though? I mean, so when they say kill Surface Tablet, is that by default defined as Surface RT, or
correct,
where does Surface Pro fit in there?
No, because they actually renamed it with the new iteration with the Surface Pro 2. What happened was they called the Surface Pro 2, you know, that's your Pro, but the RT was actually renamed to the Surface. So that could be a bit confusing.
Yeah, the name, the fallibility of naming schemes. I got you.
Yeah, and Microsoft has a tendency of doing that kind of stuff.
Boy, I'm sure glad I didn't get on my soapbox, because I read this and I was like, why? I mean, old school made such a good argument in favor of Surface, you know, the new Surface, you know, the dual screen, and I wouldn't have put too much clout in it, but Mary Jo Foley, Microsoft blogger, very well knowledgeable about Microsoft, she put her thumbprint on this, and I was like, really? It kind of made my eyebrows go up. I read it, and kept going, and Morgan Stanley was talking about on it, and, you know, favor and against. And I was like, I'm sitting here reading this. This is a real article, by the way. It starts out, Microsoft could release touch-based version of Office software for Microsoft iPad before it's released for its own Windows tablets, according to plugged-in Microsoft blogger Mary Jo Foley. And then it goes on to talking about Surface and selling it. Microsoft has run several different TV ads for Surface tablets, and though they very significantly, all of them contain the same phrase, quote, it has Office, unquote. So, including Microsoft Office, et cetera, you know, they cited the $900 million write-down and various other things of that nature. But, you know, I think the clarification you gave puts me a little bit more at ease that this is by default working on the RT. This isn't the Pro.
No, because the RT was an absolute failure with consumers.
Well, the limitations of it, its own were just dumb.
Why am I going to pay $400 for something I can't get the full experience with when I can pay a little more and get that Surface Pro with better hardware, full-fledged Windows, can join a domain and stuff like that? And that tablet is going to sell to a corporate space anyways, because that's where Microsoft's base is. It's not on the consumer side. They took a chance with it, but it was compared to Android tablets, it's priced higher, which was a mistake. They'd have to get it at a really low price point for consumers to even look at it. So, and then on the corporate side, they looked at it and said, well, I can't install apps. I'm not buying this. So at the end of the day, it's an absolute failure.
I think number one, the price, and, you know, and just like you said, the apps. You know, I should be able to install all this on it. But, you know, well, no, you can't because it's RT. And I remember when they sent down an update and it was bricking Surface devices all over. I mean, left and right, Surface devices were coming up bricked because of the RT. And I was just like, well, I guess that's another you know, they cited the $900 million write-down.
I mean, keep in mind, when you got six people who have it, it's not that big a deal, but yeah.
Well, everybody wanted it because it was a Microsoft tablet. And they wanted, you know, but they didn't realize that RT meant limitations out the wazoo, not, you know, it wasn't
I hate to say this because I know this word isn't appropriate, but whenever I think RT, I think a retard. This is the retard. It's the retarded brother of the pro. You know,
it's the guy that rides the short bus.
Yeah,
it's the exactly. Tablet that rode the short bus.
It's the short bus tablet.
The short bus tablet. There you go. And I say that with all the love and respect I can for the industry. It has its place, but it's not. It doesn't have its place here. And so I appreciate you clearing that up for me, Mr. Old School, because, like I said, I read this article. I was like, I don't think I like that. Yeah. But, you know, that did offer some great clarification. I do appreciate that 100%. And, you know, we have gone and we violated another hour, folks. This is episode 75. Once again, we've gone past our designated hour mark. Mr. Old School, as we get ready to put a lid on this, we've covered a lot of good ground. Thanks for sharing with us about the new device. Any final thoughts as we get ready to put a lid on it?
Yeah, hopefully you don't have any Bitcoin in MT Gox or Mt. Gox, because you ain't getting it back.
And the price continues to go down.
Yep.
That's right. Well, tune in next week for episode 76. Mr. Old School comes back to hang out with me. Again, we'll have some more Microsoft talk going on. I've got a pretty good idea. Make sure you're checking in with the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We got great stuff coming in. We've got the Split Decision with the new MMA shows coming in. We've got Trending Mobile Technology, where you can get me every week, where I'm talking about what's hot and what's not in the mobile space. Mr. Old School will be getting back to us with Old School at the Movies or his retro show. We've got the Spanish Announce Table, where we're breaking down WWE and TNA every week. And brand new project, trying to be released, headed up by me, yours truly. It's called The Game Face, where we're talking about gaming. And if you don't think you're a gamer, check out the first show. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only preview I'm going to give. If you don't think you're a gamer, just do me a favor, humor me. Check out the first show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Piper, the DJ of Trending Mobile Technology. This was episode 75. I am taking a bite out of the mobile space.
Good night.
Your Android avatar is a mustache.
It does?
Yeah.
That's weird. Oh, you're talking about on Skype, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a mustache in real life.
Oh, well, that's probably why your avatar has a mustache.
I actually made that on Androidify.
I figured you made it on Paint, but yeah, okay.
Paint. No,
greatest image editor ever, Microsoft Paint.
Yeah. No, I made that. There's this little app that you can download in the Play Store called Androidify. And you got these little different things. And I looked at that, and I was kind of playing around with it, and I came up with that, and I was like, yeah, that looks all right.
You got the French mustache there, the big...
No, it's just a little goatee, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'll have to blow it up and take a look at which one I put. Oh, wait a minute, it is a little French, isn't it?
You got the French mustache going on.
Yeah, it's got
there.
That little doo-doo-doo. I need to update that. I haven't updated it in a while.
Yeah, because it looks like you got a Palm Pilot in your hand there. What's going
on?
Yeah,
there's a tablet there. No, it's just a tablet. It's supposed to be a tablet. And I got a Bluetooth
like a
in the
pilot.
Air and my little suit. Anyway, yeah, I'll have to pull that up and probably change that around. I haven't done anything on Android if I had a long time now that I think about it.
Well, you haven't.